Producer.
What's up, guys? This is Podducer, the podcast for producers. Today we are joined by Buka. Buka, what do you do?
What do I do? All right. Well, I'm a producer and DJ slash selector.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah. I'm actually, one of my questions is, what's the difference between a DJ and a selector?
I think DJing is really kind of like just like a constant mix of tracks, right? Like you don't stop really, right? If you're selecting tunes, well, then you're just kind of like, you take your, you're selecting tunes and you let them play pretty much all the way through. That's it. And then, like, of course, like, then you talk a little bit, or you have your MC talk a little bit, and that's it. Selecting is more kind of like a sound system, like Jamaica sound system thing. That's where I think it began. Like, they would play, like, the original track, right? And then say a little something, something, flip the record, and then play, like, the dub or the version, the rhythm. And then maybe they would have, like, an MC or a Sing J, and they're like just do their own thing. It was pretty cool.
Yeah. I've definitely seen that. I just didn't really know we would call that a selector. Yeah. Also, it's like a selector, like selecta. Not a selector. But yeah, that makes sense. I actually saw, so like on your Instagram, there's some videos of people I would probably think are selectors. They have a DJ setups, but they're kind of like going in, playing a tune, talking, saying some stuff. Mm-hmm. It's almost like radio more. It's
a
more
little bit, yeah, yeah. Because that is what they do also. Like, they tell you a little bit about the track. Also, like, oh, so-and-so made it, and blah, blah, blah. It's big tune, big tune. And
big
then,
tune.
Yeah, 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 flip it. And then, here's the version. And pew, 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 pew.
Yeah, they got
of course, yeah, and we got the sirens, too. We got the sirens and
okay. And so you could potentially call yourself a selector and DJ,
yeah.
Like, and in the sense that, like, totally, it's somewhat interchangeable.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Cool. Well, there's a question that I ask all my guests, and that is, what was your first concert?
First concert. Oh, damn.
Yo, what's up, guys? Before we get into today's show, I want to take a quick moment to talk about our sponsor, Quake. As music producers and concert enthusiasts, we know how important it is to protect our ears. That's where Quake's Dove Muffs V2 come in. They aren't just any earplugs, they're a game changer. What sets Dove Muffs V2 apart? First off, their quality. They're better than any plugs I've ever used. I use them all the time. I have custom in-ear plugs. These are my main ones that I bring to shows. You get premium sound clarity, preserving those crisp highs and deep lows, all while safeguarding your ears from damaging volumes. And the best part, they don't break the bank. Quality and affordability, son. Let's talk customization. Quake knows one size doesn't fit all. That's why they offer two sizes. Whether you're at an intimate gig or a massive festival, Dove Muffs V2 fit comfortably in your ears, making sure you're protected no matter how long the show lasts. Let's face it, we've all left concerts with ringing in our ears. It's not good, but it ends up happening. But it doesn't have to be that way. Protect your ears while enjoying the pure sound of music with Quake's Dove Muffs V2. As a special thank you to our listeners, Quake is offering an exclusive discount. Just use the code POD15 at checkout to save on your first purchase. As a motto of our show, make sure you protect your ears. Now let's get back to the show. Also, I just want to let you guys know before we get back to the show, shameless plug, we are doing our first round of merch. They are green corduroy ball caps with the Podducer logo embroidered on them. They're pretty sweet. They cost $35. And if you purchase one, it really helps us out to keep doing what we are doing here. You can find a link to purchase one in the link tree on any Podducer social media. like I said, your support really helps. Okay, sorry, shameless plug. We'll get back to the show.
I think my first concert was actually a festival.
That happens.
Yeah, it was a radio festival in Florida when I used to live near the Everglades. And I can't remember who, what the name of the radio station. Well, anyway, but like, let's see, it was a bunch of like punk and rock bands. Like, I don't know if you remember Jimmy's Chicken Shack, Goldfinger? Is that the name of that punk ska band? Cool. I think it's Goldfinger.
That sounds familiar.
Who else? Oh man, I think 311 was there.
So were you into like that type of music, or like how'd you end up there?
Oh yeah, man. Well, that was the thing. It's like I grew up mostly like in small towns, and yeah, so it was like all just for me, it was all radio and MTV. So that's all I was into. I didn't get into like electronic music until like way later. And then like the first thing that I got into was jungle. Like, yeah, but I got into the hard jungle first, or like the weird jungle,
like the breakcore type of jungle,
like Aphex Twin jungle.
Okay.
Yeah. And,
IDM.
Yeah, IDM. Exactly. Intelligent dance music.
I've always had a problem with that label. It's just like, it sounds snooty, you know?
Then what's the rest? It's like idiot.
Stupid.
Stupid, you stupid DM.
Yeah. Stupid.
Yeah.
That's actually like a good little jumping off point, because I always go into origin story as well. Mm. So you started listening to jungle,
yeah,
the harder jungle,
yeah,
the more technical jungle.
Yeah.
How did you start producing? Like, what, you know, were you listening to stuff and then decided like, oh, you know, I could do this?
I started producing because, well, I've been playing guitar since like I was 11, and well, you know, like I had like this idea that, okay, if I want to record, then like you have to have money to go into a studio. And I mean, well, you know, that was like the dream, right? But let's see, when I was in college, I worked at this sushi bar, and I met these two brothers that like they actually made beats using a PlayStation.
Okay, wait, what?
Yeah. Like there was either some game or I don't know what it was, but like they made beats on the PlayStation. It was some game. I don't know what they use it.
Okay, wait. Could it have been Timbaland had a game? I think it was for the PSP, mm-hmm, but it was called Beaterator, and like it was like a DAW, but maybe this was different.
Yeah. This one was different. But so one brother used that. The other brother used Reason. So, I mean, I had a computer, so I was like, okay, I'll buy Reason. And I got it from like off a musician's friend for like pretty cheap. I think it was like $150 or $250, because like they were just about to drop the new version of Reason. So I was like, okay, shit, I'll start. Oh, wait, can I curse? Or
yeah, you can curse. Okay.
All right. so, yeah. Did that. At that time, though, I really wasn't into like electronic just yet. I was listening to bands like Radiohead a lot, and they were drifting into like the electronic realm like pretty heavy. So I was like, well, okay, this is actually kind of cool, right? And I started listening to other instrumental bands like Explosions in the Sky, Mogwai, Saxon Shore, Album Leaf, you know, those kinds of bands. And that stuff like resonated with me. I think I was also getting tired of like music with vocals. Like I don't it just wasn't hitting me as hard as it used to. Nobody was saying anything interesting anymore at that time anyway.
Are we talking about like pop music predominantly, or just like vocal music?
Just vocal music, I think, in general. Like,
yeah. Like you could do without it.
Yeah, exactly. So that was kind of like a good little segue or something, you know, just like, okay, well, now I'm tired of this, so maybe I could just do instrumental music. So that's what I wanted to do originally. I wanted to make instrumental music. And then when I found like jungle, like stuff like Aphex Twin and Square Pusher, was it Mouse on Mars, stuff like that. Like, I was, man, like, how are they doing this stuff? So I got really obsessed with it. And then, like, I just, you know, really, like, discovered, like, the brakes and stuff like that. I was like, okay, well, maybe. And I wanted to do that. I wanted to be like them. I didn't have those kind of chops, man. Like, that was just next level. That's some nerd thing, you know?
Especially then. I mean, like, I don't know. What year was this, roughly?
2007?
Okay,
no, 2006, 2000, something like that, yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, that's in a time where the tech was just not, people weren't producing like they are now.
No.
So you really had to know how to do that and reason.
No, yeah,
every time
yeah.
I've seen it, it looks complicated.
Well, I think, like, all right, so people like Aphex Twin and Square Pusher, they were using, like, different programs, and like they were actually like programming their own stuff, like designing their own effects and stuff like that through like one of the like the languages that you had to learn to use these programs. I don't know, like maybe it's because I started with Reason and I sat down and like, you know, learned it. It was easy, but I mean, I think it just depends on like what you start with. I think, I don't know, I also kind of work with Ableton, and Ableton's pretty cool too. It's just, you know, getting used to it. But yeah,
what you were saying about Aphex Twins and Square Pusher, how they were designing stuff, I feel like they were probably designing some of that stuff, first of all, because they're nerds,
yeah.
Second of all, because there probably weren't tools, and they were like, okay, well, I gotta figure out how to make these. Now there's a million plugins, there's a million things that you can use,
exactly,
so it's great. I mean, that's amazing, but probably back then they were just like, all right, well, I got to learn this coding language because like otherwise I'm not going to be able to do the things that I envision.
Exactly.
So when you kind of said you were starting to like make some breaks, chop up some stuff like that, like what was the first genre you were producing?
I was trying to make jungle, trying to, and then kind of got a little bit more into hip hop. Using like a lot of samples, that was, and I wasn't too good at that because, oh man, I didn't have the money to buy like to spend on records. You know, I'd go to like Goodwill and go thrift store shopping with a buddy of mine, but like I was just like, I'm not too good at this, so I just kind of moved on. And that same friend, he played for me the infamous BBC Radio Dubstep Wars mix. And he was like, hey man, will you like Screw? I was like, yeah, I mean, it's okay, right? I mean, I was living in Louisiana, so like I would hear, and you know, it's
like
cool.
Screwed and Chopped.
Yeah. And it's like, well, this is kind of like the UK answer to that. And I was like, I don't know if that's like you know, like a good comparison, but like he played it and I was like, what? It just made sense. Something about it just made sense. And he didn't have like the best sound system in his car, but like the music just translated very well. Like, you know, probably because it had wobbles and I could kind of like imagine how it would sound. But I had, at that time, I had a Ford Mustang and I had 212s in it. So I played that mix in the car for the first time. I was just like, what is this? And the rest is history.
The rest is history. Yeah. Damn, I feel like that mix might have been before my time, in the sense that like the dubstep that I was listening to was like YouTube era, UKF.
Oh yeah,
I would say that this was more.
So it was like
2011.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was gonna say.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I actually now need to listen to this mix. So this is like an infamous mix.
Yeah. I think it was, I think I want to say it's like 2008.
And was
2007, 2008, one of those two. Yeah.
Was it more of the dub?
I'll tell you who was on it. It's like Digital Mystics. So Mala, Koki, Lofa was on it. Scream.
That like Dub Distance. Police, remember that record?
Yeah, of
label?
Course.
Stuff like
of course.
That. Yeah.
No.
No, that's later.
This was before.
This was before.
Yeah, so before that. Yeah, The Police came a couple of
damn,
years.
Damn, bro, you know some, like, some dubstep that I thought I went back kind of, but no.
I'm old, bro. I'm old.
Well, but I mean, yeah, I mean, it's just... I thought that I didn't know really that dubstep was that much older because I thought kind of the stuff coming up. See, I'm ignorant. I don't know. I'm learning. We're learning together.
We're okay? learning.
And I'm not scared to say I don't know some stuff. So like before that though, that's where you had guys like Mala and like that were more at the incubator stage.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, and it was deep. It was oh man, it was so good. Such a good mix. Like, yeah. That's what I can say.
How were you finding out about this stuff? Was YouTube a thing? Yeah,
YouTube. YouTube was a thing, but I did, just like, honestly, like my friend had a little too much time on his hands. He really wasn't doing anything, you know? So like he would just go down rabbit holes and find all this. You know, he loved music. He's really like a music lover. So he would find all this stuff and he would just like show it to me and whatever, like, you know, I liked, I was like, whoa, shit, man, just hook me up. I need more mixes. So yeah, so that's how I found about dubstep. If it wasn't for him, like I wouldn't be here today, really. Mm-hmm. Cause like that mix pretty much just changed my life. And, when I listened to that mix, like I wanted to kind of like investigate more of like, okay, well, where are they getting these samples from, you know? So found it, you know, that was a lot of dub, like from Jamaica, like dub. And yeah, I just started buying like anything I could find, started YouTubing dub and like, you know, dub selectors like Josh Shaka. And when I found him, I was like, well, that's it. Like, I just loved it. So like I got more into like the dubby side of dubstep. That was like my thing.
Yeah, man, that's cool. I'm kind of curious how you're feeling about what that landscape looks like now, because it feels like people of my era who like the dubstep of like the UKF style, which close to the origin but not quite. It feels like there's a resurgence of the original dub.
Yeah, definitely. Like, yeah, I remember, like, it was deep, but then it got heavier and heavier and heavier. And then, like, it, boom, and then went back to, like, or tried to go back to the roots. And there was, like, a resurgence. I think, like, when Khan came out with Dread, like, that was, it was the beginning of the resurgence again. And then, like, there's people that still are doing, like, really, really, like, deep stuff. And there's also, like, people that are doing, like, the more kind of, like, the heavy wobbler stuff, which is great. I mean, you need it. You can't just have, like, a night full of, like, deep, kind of, like, shoegazing dubstep. You know, it gets boring.
Yeah, you gotta get the crowd going
exactly,
a little bit.
Exactly. You know, like, a little bit of everything never hurt anybody, man. Like, that's what, and honestly, that's what I try to kind of do with my sets. I love doing 2 to 3 hour sets, to be honest.
Really?
Like, yeah, because I like to go from like the roots of it all, like, in, I'm talking about like UK dub to all the way to like jungle or even like footwork stuff like that. I just, to me, it's interesting to like to change, you know?
Yeah,
like just I've been to like the all dubstep nights. I've been to all the dub nights for drum and bass nights. And it, I mean, 5-6 hours of that stuff is just,
it's a lot. Yeah, no, I agree with that completely.
Yeah.
I need a little change of whatever the break is. Like, give me something to move to differently.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I saw something, I said this in a different episode again, but it was that people like in 24 are looking for multi-format sets.
Yes.
So I feel like what you're doing is already there. 2 to 3 hours of that, of one genre, would be like, dude, we got to do something else.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't care how good of a DJ you are and like, you know, how good you are at moving the momentum of the tracks,
right,
to track, but like, you gotta throw in something else.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. No. I think that is becoming more of a thing here in the U.S. Mm-hmm. And then that, I think that's good. I think that's great, to be honest.
I think it's good too. Yeah. Speaking of which, this is not speaking of which, but you said in the U.S. and you live in Spain.
Yes.
So yes. When did you move to Spain?
It'll be 10 years.
10 years?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
2 years ago in April. Yeah.
Where in Spain?
It's a city near Madrid called Valladolid.
Okay. Yeah. Why Spain?
Why else? For love.
Oh. Yeah. Okay. Yep. Followed. Yeah. Did you follow someone there?
No. I have some family over there, and I met her through them. So yeah, it was pretty interesting how it all happened, to be honest. Yeah.
So you met someone there, and you're like, I'll come back.
Okay.
Was there a period of time?
I came back a couple times, and then then we made the decision. I was like, all right, who's going where? Like it was either she was coming over here to the U.S. or I was going over there. And basically, she has a solid career,
uh-huh.
And I just did whatever, like most of us do. Like we just if we don't have a career, we just hop around and
do some DJing here and there. Yeah, that too.
But yeah, and it made sense for me to just go over there.
Yeah,
I didn't really plan either to make a quote unquote career out of DJing. It just happened that way. Spain is actually pretty tough economically. If you ask me, is it good to move to Spain? I was like, no, not if you're trying to find a good job or anything. Spain's not the place to go.
So is it that there's a lack of jobs, or it's just that they don't pay that well?
Both. Portugal, Spain, and Italy are the toughest places economically. Germany, France, Austria, Holland, those are great places to In fact, a lot of people go migrate to those countries for work.
Mm.
So, yeah. Man, we're getting all educational.
Well, deep. Yeah. I went to the Madrid airport. Uh-huh. And we went into Madrid, uh-huh. And that was pretty cool.
Uh-huh.
I'm actually going to be going back to Spain. If you got any recommendations of places to go, I think we're going to be...
Oh, man.
I think we're going to be more in the Barcelona.
Barcelona, right.
Say it correctly.
Yeah, yeah.
Area, so yeah, if you know anything about that.
Yeah. So Barcelona is one of my favorite cities over there. It's, probably has to do with you're right next to the beach,
Hell yeah, and I'm all about that.
The food, the art. Yeah, something about that city is just it's just beautiful. But I think the northern part of Spain is actually all pretty ballin'.
Yeah.
Barcelona, you got Bilbao. My favorite city is San Sebastian. And it's just beautiful, man. Excuse me.
I'm choking.
I'm getting all teary-eyed. No, man, the food in that city, oh, man, it's great seafood. It's just great seafood.
Mm.
Man, Galicia.
Gotta do it, yeah.
Man. Yeah, yeah. What else is up?
So you like Spain. You like living there, yeah?
Yeah, yeah, I do. It's a different way of life. It's easy. It's very chill. Sometimes it's a little too chill. If you need stuff to get done, no.
Really? Even if you're on your computer or so you're saying hey, I need someone to come move this piano
exactly.
or something. And it's
exactly.
When are you going to be able to do it? And it's we got maybe in 2 weeks or something.
Something like that. Yeah. Everybody makes fun of Spain. They were saying it's mañana, tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's exactly it. We'll get it done when it gets done. There's no real sense of urgency. You know how over here you go into a shop.
They're like, yes, we'll get it for you right away.
Well, that too. But they greet you, right? Oh. They say hey, how you doing? Blah, 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 blah. Right? And over there, they're just kind of look at you hello.
And then, are you gonna steal anything?
Right. Yeah. Oh, shoot, I don't even think they care, bro. It's just so chill.
And
yeah. But no, it's great. It's great. Like, it's just, you know, do your thing. You go out, go get a drink at 12, you know, in the afternoon, and it's acceptable. You know, go for some tapas. That's great, you know? Then take a siesta.
Right.
From like 4 to 6. Come on, man.
But you feel like at least having the taste of living in the U.S. for a good part of your life, like, yeah, that it, at times it's just a little too chill.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. How's the music scene? Like, how's the dub scene?
Yeah, like, dub scene is good. Like, as far as, we're just talking about Spain, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or, and I kind of wanted to open that up to Europe, because when you live in Spain, it's like, it's pretty easy to travel to the surrounding places.
Yeah. Okay. So like, dub is like the thing.
In Spain?
In Spain.
Where and, you're...
Yeah. And pretty much like most of Europe.
Really?
A lot of sound systems, man. Like a lot of sound, like the homemade sound systems.
Yeah.
And so they mostly do that. Techno is a big thing too. Yeah, it's a really big thing. Reggaeton is really big in Spain, of course.
Yo, hey, thank you. Sorry, we're getting a beer right now.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Munchie. Appreciate you.
Drum and bass is also huge.
Is dubstep?
No. Dubstep is not so big in Europe. Like, that's a UK thing. Mostly I'll play dubstep at festivals or stuff like that, and it goes down well at festivals. If you play it out, like, if you know, if I'm playing a normal session, then like I'll throw in some dubstep tunes, but like if you play too long, they're like, nah, I don't like this.
Really?
Yeah, it's too slow for them, I think.
It's just interesting because in Chicago, for example, people love bass music.
Yeah.
People love techno. People love just a lot of different styles of music, like kind of whatever, honestly.
Right.
It's, and maybe that is the thing about the U.S. where it is that melting pot. People like whatever. People get a little tribal about,
right,
I like techno, I like dubstep, whatever. Right. But it does, yeah, I was just going to say.
It happens over there, too. It happens with something as simple as dub, too. Like, I only like roots. I only like digital. I only like stuff that was made from, like, 80s to 90s. You know,
what is roots and digital? Yeah, let's do it. Let's go.
Roots is very, like, it's more, like, kind of, like, conscious stuff. Like, talking about, like, you know, going back to Africa, repatriation, all that sort of stuff. And, very uplifting music. Very conscious.
Like, meaning
like
the, like, pilgrimage type of thing back.
Yeah, like let's all go back to the roots. Let's go back to Ethiopia and all that sort of stuff. To the motherland. And then digital is more like stuff that was made on a keyboard, like the Casio keyboard.
I feel like you know the delineations of these things, at least to the extent that, I mean, how much do you know about, like you're listening to dub records and they're talking about Babylon, they're talking about, like, exactly, stuff that, all this lingo, how much have you learned through just soaking it in from listening to music? How much do you actively go out to learn more about the culture? Like,
I learned a lot about the culture just playing sessions, and then just like kind of like listening to other people's sessions, like kind of like the more bigger selectors, like Channel One, Josh Shaka, Iration, Mungo's Hi-Fi, like even OBF. Yeah, they were pretty, I mean, they're all about, like, conscious stuff, especially Channel One. They're one of, like, the oldest groups around now, and they've been doing it for a while, so. And Josh Shaka just died think it was like last year, and that left a big hole. Damn. In the scene, like he was young too, man. He was like 70, and he had so much music, and it was really good, very energetic, very powerful. I mean, just put on a sound system. Like, I don't know if people care too much about the message, to be honest. I don't know. But like this music, like when you hear it on like on a proper sound system, man, like it when it hits you, you're somewhere else.
Yeah,
you're just enjoying really you're getting hit with vibration, and it just you can't compare it to like a a Void sound system or a Hennessy or whatever, it, like these homemade sound systems, like if they're really really well put together, like I mean you feel that stuff like 6 blocks, 8-10 blocks away.
Really?
Yeah, it's serious.
How do you stand near it if it's so loud, or is it just,
it doesn't hurt? That's the thing.
Is like, it just subby?
It's just bass, it's just pure vibration, man, and like it doesn't hurt. Like again, if like it's tuned well and it's made well, like it doesn't hurt at all.
What are people normally doing? I mean, specifically, maybe I know kind of what it is over here, but in the dub scene in Europe, like what are people normally doing when they're listening to the music? Are they just kind of vibing? Are they talking to each other?
No, they're vibing. They're just dancing.
Dancing,
and,
yeah.
And the thing is, big difference. When people go out to dances, it's more like the sound system that is the, we'll call them the main act.
Not you as a DJ. Yeah. You're more selecting at that point. I mean, you're just curating
exactly
what goes into the system.
Exactly. Mm. And people are just like, they're either liking it or they don't like it. But no, for the most part, like they enjoy it and they're there for the music.
And the
sound system.
People getting on mic as much? Like calling stuff out or
Okay, that's still
a big thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dub sirens.
Pew, 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 pew.
People making custom dub sirens.
Yes.
I mean, like, I feel like people that do that well here are the beatdown sound people. I don't know if you've...
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Yeah.
KDP.
Mm-hmm.
Chuck. Chef.
Yeah, dude. They're so cool. So nice. Like, they say they go to Jamaica a lot. I'm just like, you guys are fucking... This is the thing, man. It's like there's a divide between and I think like a bridge and a crossing ground between people like myself who like dubstep and like sounds that are analogous to this, but the dub nights and like the purely dub versus the step is, I don't know, like you can, as a dubstep person, you can get into the dub,
yeah,
but it's just, I don't know, they're different camps.
Yeah, I don't get it. In the UK, that's totally different. I mean, the kids who are like are exposed to it, and I mean, come on, that's where dubstep came from, and that's where like a lot of these new sound systems are coming from. So they're exposed to it all.
Yeah,
If I don't, out of the people that I know that make dubstep in the UK, like they're all about going to these big dub nights. And they're happening all the time too. I mean, so there's everything going on over there. So
it's tons of stuff. Yeah. I mean, I think there's more of it in the States now, but anyway, it's just an interesting thing that's almost newer to me. And I'm always trying to learn more about it because
it's any day now, it's gonna like really like pop off. Like there's beat down, Steel Yard Sound in Cleveland, there's Spook and Headway in Wisconsin.
Shout out,
like it's blowing up. The sound system thing is blowing up, and I think like more, and they're pushing more like kind of like the dub sound, and their events are like growing, so like I think like more people are gonna be like, oh, okay, well, hey, this is where dubstep comes from, or jungle. I mean, it really does all come from dub. You know, if it wasn't for dub, like, these techniques that, like, we use to make this music that we love wouldn't exist. I mean, even, like, rock or, you know, there's dub mixes.
Dude,
for all this music, there's dub mixes.
The farther I go into, like, learning about music, the more you realize, like, how, like, Jamaica had such a substantial impact on music.
Yeah.
It's incredible. Yeah. I just feel like there's such a wealth of knowledge that I still need to learn. So I'm not even going to try to, like, sit here
and report that I know. Yeah, there's a lot that I still need to learn about it, too. I just know, like, scratch the surface of it. Yeah,
I feel like even just collecting records, collecting dubs, like, and listening to the music, that's part of the learning.
Yeah, totally.
Like, you don't have to know all the players and the characters. No. Like, it's important. You could just sit there and appreciate it and be like, this is fucking cool.
Yeah,
you know, and then you spin the music. I don't know.
Yeah, agreed.
Anyway, all right, let's let's move past the dub talk. I'm sure we'll come back to it. I want to talk about Moonshine.
Sure.
What do we got going on there?
Moonshine. Man, actually, Moonshine is helping me launch one of my labels. I have two. So I have. They're helping me with one. I've been doing a lot of work for Moonshine, like, in the past few years. Haven't done so much for them lately, but... You know, I think just because, like, kind of focusing more on my stuff.
They're a record label.
Yeah, right? They're a record label from Poland, and they push more like the dubby side of dubstep.
Okay.
And also just some dub stuff, but, like, yeah, more like the forward thinking stuff with dubstep. But yeah, so, and they're still doing it. This, like, their 15th year anniversary, actually. So they're doing shows around Europe, you know, promoting it, stuff like that. Yeah,
nice. How are they helping you in terms of your own record label? Do they print records? Like, is that part of?
Yeah, well, like, when I mentioned the idea to
I
Mac,
guess I should say press records.
press. Yeah. When I mentioned the idea, what I wanted to do, he's like, Mac says to me, he's like, "Well, can I get on this project?" I was like, okay, yeah, really? I was kind of surprised, you know, like, I didn't, you know, well, wasn't expecting anything out of it, you know. I was just like, all right. So, like, yeah, man, I mean, well, what do you want to do? I was like, well, let's, you know, I'll just help you press it. Like, how many copies you want to do? I was like, I don't know, what do you think, like 300? I was like, yeah, sure, what do you have? So I sent him, like, some music. Oh, this is great. And this is, like, this label is called Unfold, and it's gonna be, like, not genre specific, is gonna be whatever, my own stuff, at least for the time being, just my own stuff. I don't want to do, like, any of this bureaucratic and listen to other people's stuff at the moment. It's just my stuff, and it's gonna be, like, deep, whatever, just as long as it, you know, sounds good. I mean, in my opinion, if it sounds good, that, but yeah. So yeah, he wanted to get on it, and the first record should drop in a couple of months, all 7-inch format as well. It's not going to be 12-inch for the time being anyway. So, yeah.
How does that look financially? And, like, what, you know, it's just the basic principle of, like, I make this many, it's going to cost. Like, how many does 300 records cost? Do they have, like, cool, like, are they, like, different colors, and does that cost more?
Yeah. Okay. All right. No, okay. Let's get into the financials. All right. So, the more you press, yeah, the better it comes out. Kind of, you know, like with everything, if you buy more, then, like, it gets,
you gotta buy in bulk.
Yeah, Costco, yeah. Sam's deal, right?
Right.
So with that, then you either get a, you know, nice artwork done, or you just go with the plain white sleeve.
Plain white sleeve's kind of hot, though.
Plain white sleeve is pretty, and then you can do the hand stamp. And that's money saved, too. So, yeah, you can just go different routes, man. You can get it colored. And that costs a little bit more. But 300 over... should be, like, over 1,000.
Okay.
Yeah, like, probably, I don't know, 1,500, something like this. Plus, I mean, you got to take into consideration mastering costs, you know.
Right. Yeah. The actual.
Yeah. Which isn't too much. It's not too much, but yeah.
Do you have to master specific, like, let's say that you're just releasing something digitally.
Right.
Do you send it to a different mastering engineer than to the guy?
They should be able to do.
Record.
Yeah. Like the vinyl masters and digital masters and even streaming masters for like Spotify and stuff like that. They require a different type of mastering.
Do they? Yeah. So they're looking for like a different LUFS value, something like that.
Yeah.
Is there, do you know what it is for records? Like, is it lower? Is it?
That I do not know.
Okay. Yeah. But you do send your mixes off to a mastering engineer.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Gotcha. So yeah, there's a lot involved with, you make the track, you get it mastered, you get it pressed.
Yes.
And then at that point you have all these records.
Yes.
Do you mostly sell online? Do people come to a record store? Do you like...
Yeah, then that's the other thing, right? So if Moonshine's helping me, then like, yeah, then this will be able to go to different shops.
They help distribute.
Exactly.
Syndicate? That might not be the correct term, but yeah, they distribute.
They distribute to like different shops all around Europe. Yeah. So it'll reach the UK, it'll reach France, Germany, all these other places.
Oh,
yeah.
That's helpful to have.
And Bandcamp and Moonshine will have their own little, I mean, they have their own Bandcamp, so it'll be on there as well. So yeah. So it'll have a good little reach. I mean, it's a test. Like for me, this is all like a little test to see like, okay, well, can I do it? You know, like, is this a good idea?
Yeah.
And it's been something that I've been wanting to do, but something always came up. Like, I forget the first thing, but like, yeah, the major thing was COVID.
Yeah, that's a big one.
You know? And then just like starting to get back up and running, like after COVID, like that was the thing I was like, shoot, do I risk it? Like, you know, I was making a living off of just playing out. So like, I mean, my train of thought just like, I was like, all right, should I just save this money? Should I invest in myself? What should I do? Like, and then like, you know, just again, Moonshine offered to help with this one. So I was like, okay, cool. And then like the second label is self-titled or self-named Buka, right? And that was just going to be like dub. And it's going to be limited copies. So that one's a little bit cheaper. And that's it. You know, making them special. I'm trying to give back as well with this one too. So like, it's not just a record that you're getting. I'm working with this guy from France. His name is Charlie. And he has a project called Mystic Wood. He also works with the OBF guys. And I mean, as an engineer, he's phenomenal. Works with like analog gear. So like when he does the mixes and like the dubs for me, it's just like, it's like eargasm, bro. It just sounds so fat and so great,
so warm,
wide, everything. It just sounds good. And I played them out and it sounds so good. Better than anything you can make inside the box, you know, like in your computer, like when you run it through tape and all this stuff, is just next level.
I feel like it lends itself to the genre.
Yeah.
Too, you know?
I mean, that's how they used to make stuff, you know? Like, now it's, anybody can do it. And I'm not like trying to devalue it. It's just like, you know, it's just how it is now.
Yeah.
You know? But yeah, so anyways, yeah. So he does the dubs for me. It's like four. I ask him for usually for like four additional dubs. So when you get like the record, it's going to be two tracks on the record, right? 7-inch, four extra dubs, a print, like you could, you know, put in a frame if you want to, stickers, also offering like bundles where like you actually get to save some money and also save on shipping, you know? So I'm just trying to give back, man. Like, feel like I have a lot to be thankful for, especially now, man. Like, times are tough. Yeah, just trying to see like what I can do. And it's about that time anyway. I don't want to like just put out on my music on other people's labels, and you know.
So. Yeah, there's two questions that I have from this, and one of them is, you know, you're talking about like the gratitude of being, you know, thankful for what you have, and I saw, you know, there's some big name artists who have given you recognition. Mala, Jay Kenzo. I mean, maybe some of these aren't all artists. V-I-V-E-K, Vivek.
Yeah, Vivek. Yeah.
Channel One Sound System, King Silo. I guess when you said gratitude, like, there's a lot to be thankful for, like, throughout your career, how long has your career been thus far?
Man, I mean, really, I think when I started taking it seriously was like, what, 2009, something like this.
Gotcha.
So yeah, it's been 21, 22. So what, like 15 years, something like this for me now, but like on and off too. Like there, I did take a break.
Yeah.
Bad relationship. So I was like, oh, no, I'll
just chill.
Yeah.
But you've gotten to, I mean, just on your Instagram page, I don't know if that's more recent or whatnot, but some of these venues you've played are so cool looking. Like, they just, I don't know. Yeah. What is it about the gratefulness? Do you practice gratitude in general? Because this is kind of a tangent in the sense that, like, I have been trying to practice gratitude more.
Yeah.
And just being like, you know, things could be so much worse. You know what
yeah.
I mean? Sometimes I get all annoyed about shit in my daily life, and I'm like, dude, everything's pretty much going right. So when you said that, it kind of made me think, are you someone who tries to actively practice that? Or are there specific things that you're like, dude, that was a really cool moment? Like, you know, I feel really lucky for...
No, I mean, I try to do it on the daily, man, just because, like, I mean, really, like, there is... so much to be grateful for. I mean, I think especially like being in Europe, Spain. I mean, come on, man. Like, I think it was 2 years ago, like right when like Ukraine, Russia started this bullshit. I was supposed to fly out to Poland. And I remember I called my friend and the promoter. I was like, bro, like, is it safe? Like, I mean, because our Ukraine's right next to Poland. And they're like, yeah, like, there's, you know, a little bit of activity going around, but, like, it's safe. Like, I mean, it's not going to spill over. I was like, oh, all right, cool. So I went and played, and it was a great night. I mean, I think people forget, like, how easily, like, things could happen in Europe, you know? Like, it could happen anytime. And yeah, so like, I'm just really grateful that, like, you know, like, everything's normal for right now, quote unquote normal.
Is there a general like feeling in Europe that it's a little bit closer to?
Well, yeah, like, there's, all right, like, well, in Spain, right? Barcelona, Catalonia, they want to be an independent nation.
Mm.
So like a few years, I think it was right before COVID actually, like, they were doing a lot of protesting and a lot of rioting, and that's what they were hoping for. In fact, I'm not gonna even get too political on that part, but like, yeah, some stuff went down just recently also that like is kind of like stirring up the people over there. So but at any rate,
these are the other thing too I think about is like, there's pretty much this is out of your control.
Yeah.
And another thing I've been thinking about is that as we go forward, things get more and more granular, and it's like, okay, maybe this little pocket is a separate thing, but obviously when things change, there's just like this like chemical reaction, like breaking off, like, yeah, from what that thing is.
Yeah, man,
it's normally like tumultuous.
The world is becoming just one thing, man. And like, when you throw a rock at this, you know, glass house, it's all gonna crumble, you know. Like, we're all connected now, man.
It's becoming one thing but fractured. Yeah. Right. And another thing too, I was talking to Snake Blood, and he was talking about how dub music, he's like, or maybe it was more reggae, actually. he was like, yo, like, that music comes from hard times. Like, it comes from revolution.
Yeah. I mean, that's what, that's, yeah. Yeah, like, that's kind of like what it all, how it all started, you know? Yeah, revolution, poverty. Let's go back to Africa. You know, we don't belong here. We don't, well, we don't belong in Jamaica. Like, we belong home, you know? So, yeah. Yeah, I mean, you can feel it, too. And that's what I think that's what made it great. I honestly, I prefer, like, the, I call it dark reggae. I like, it's more, like, moody, you know? But I think that's how I kind of prefer, like, my music anyway. I like my music moody. It just speaks to me more rather than just, like, this happy stuff.
Yeah.
So, but yeah.
Is practicing, I mean, I know marijuana is a big thing when it comes to, like, reggae, dub, whatever. Maybe, yeah, there's, again, there's, like, so many different little associated sects of things.
It's associated, yeah.
But, you know, and then, like, Rastafarian lifestyle and that being a religion. And I'm just kind of getting back to, like, this gratitude thing. Do you find the culture behind the music in general to practice a sense of gratitude, or, like, being linked to just greater, higher powers?
Yeah, there's a lot of people, I think, that I speak with that are very, like, grounded. And yeah, definitely, just, I mean, they're so thankful for, like, when you know go see them play, they talk to everybody, they're so kind, there's humility in them, you know? They don't think that they're, like, above you or anything like that. I mean, there's some, of course, you know, there's the exception, but yeah, for the most part, like, I've dealt with more people that are just, like, very grateful for everything.
Yeah, I mean, because the alternative is, like, you're a DJ, you're a rock star, you're fucking, everybody put your hands up, and, like, that's cool too, that's a lot of energy. Yeah. Like, I've had great times at those shows too,
definitely. Yeah,
but it does seem at least that an ego can get attached to that easier.
Yes.
Yeah. So yeah,
one cool thing about, like, sound system dub music events, the DJ or selector is level with the people dancing. They're not up on stage or anything. There's no fancy light shows. Like, everybody's, like, connected. They're all right there with each other, enjoying.
Yeah, there's no fancy light shows.
No fancy light shows.
Maybe, I feel like,
maybe one light over, like, the turntable, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's pretty cool. I gotta say, like, that's
minimal.
Pretty, yeah.
Yeah. I feel like I've also seen stuff where the like, the speakers might be, like, reactive to, like, some kind of dark light or something.
Yeah,
like,
that too.
Thing.
Yeah,
I feel like I've seen that.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, again, you're just more steeped in this culture. And if anything that I'm doing right now, I'm trying to make this, like, an ethnography. Like, let's figure out what's going on in this culture. Because I want to go experience it for myself.
Oh, you will, man. Like, I mean, when you go over there. Hey, Barcelona's got a really, really good scene with the, like, sound systems. There's a few of them out there. There's a good bit of record shops, too.
Speaking of record shops, just to get back to the pressing and stuff, how often are you playing out vinyl?
Actually, like, vinyl, I don't play it. Simply because I'm a collector, so the vinyl doesn't leave my house.
Yeah, you're like, I'm not going to... So, out of protection.
Yes. How can I say this? Like, you pay, what, $15... Yeah, probably, like, after Brexit tax and all that stuff, 15 euros for a record that either has two, at most maybe four tracks or six, maybe. Man, I want to take care of that thing, man. Like, I hate to be that guy, but, like, yeah, I mean, I'm that guy. I just stays home. get the digitals and take my USB stick and go play that.
When you buy a record on vinyl, I literally don't have a vinyl collection at all. I'm all in the box. I'm like streaming services.
Yeah.
I have some like files on my computer of songs that I like.
Right.
But very different. And when you buy a vinyl, they normally give you a digital copy too.
Yeah, like with Bandcamp. That's what I love about Bandcamp, actually. They give you the digital files so you can play them out. If not, like, well, if what I do is I buy records from this one page called Red Eyes. And they have a reserve basket. So you can buy all your records, save them on this basket, and when you're ready to have them ship, boom. So it's not like, okay, you're going to buy this one record, and then it's going to cost you, because European shipping is stupid, 15 euros to get it shipped to Spain or wherever. Then you got to pay Brexit tax, which is another, I don't know, depending on how many records you buy, you know. It gets pricey. So yeah, I would just rather like go through this store and then just have them all shipped all at once rather than just buy one, because that's usually how these other shops operate from the UK. Like, you know, you buy one or two and you have to get them right there on the spot. You can't save them for later shipment.
I think there's a bit of like anxiety that comes off when you put it in the cart, like, because, you know, you're like, I don't own this record, but you got your eye on it.
Yeah.
And you're not going to forget because it's in your cart.
Yeah.
And for me, I'd be like, okay, cool. This is all the stuff I want to get, but like, I'm not going to get it right now.
Yeah.
It's on my wish list.
Yeah. You got to get it. Cause like, I mean, some of the stuff, like, it goes fast.
It sells out. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of like, you know, Supreme, they do like,
the clothing line.
Yeah. Are there, this is so naive, but like, you know, drops, just like record drops, like here, do an unlimited press, like you're only gonna get so many. Is there a certain type of record label that does it more the Supreme way, where it's like, these are super limited, we're only making 20 of them, or like, and it's just
that
I gotta get one.
Okay, now see, that's a whole different,
that's a different game.
Yeah. And dub now, well, they started making these polyvinyl cuts.
Is that a different type of vinyl?
Yeah.
Does it sound better?
No. No. And depending who makes it, could be good or it could be really bad. So yeah, like with these polyvinyl cuts, like, you actually, like, when it's getting cut, right, you have to keep your eye on it, because, you know, I guess to like make sure that quality is good. So with that, like, I mean, if you got to do that with like two songs, like, you, that's a lot of time. So most people just like make 20, 30 cuts of this. So it's very limited, very exclusive, no digital at all. Right. So yeah. So people are selling these things for like £35.
What's the upside? It's just like swag. Like, you're just like, it's the poly vinyl.
Yeah, it's like, whoa, like, there's only 30 copies. Is that got
it's
one?
Just limited. Our brains are so dumb.
Yeah, I'm just kidding. Man, I mean, they are. Well, I mean, we are. Like, for real. Like, we are. Because, like, I mean, we do it for a lot of things. I mean, like, I used to be, there's this brand, I mean, it's still around, but like, it's called Kid Robot. And they used to have like lot of like limited like merchandise, like shirts,
yeah,
hoodies, and man, like, if I could get it, I got it, because like there's only like maybe like 100 of those items made or whatever. But I mean, we do it with shoes,
yeah,
you know, we do it with so much stuff, man. It's like, I mean, this isn't any different. It's just, it's what you're into, you know.
No, you're right. I'm not trying to poo-poo anyone's whatever,
same here,
like,
same here,
thing,
same
but here. Yeah, it actually makes me think, I like bought this shirt at Costco, and dude, I had this moment where I just kept seeing it, and I was like, I like this shirt, I'm not gonna return it, but I swear like when you buy something that there's only 100 copies, the likelihood of you seeing another person wearing that, very unlikely. You buy it at Costco, you're gonna do that, like that Spider-Man meme where it's like the two Spider-Mans that see each other. Yeah, so anyway, I get the limited thing.
Yeah.
I think there's something cool about it.
Yeah.
I like the drops.
Yeah.
Sometimes people get a little too, like the prices don't match the value, but it's so driven up by the limited aspect that I'm like, wait, what game are we playing here? You know?
Playing the Discogs game with vinyls sometimes, bro. Like, I mean.
Do you collect in a way ever that it's like, okay, I'm collecting like Pokemon cards. Like this vinyl is really rare and this dude on eBay is selling it for like pretty cheap. Like I could buy that, flip it or keep it.
I don't play that game. If I buy something that is for me.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't know. This happens to me more often than I'd like it. Sometimes like I'll listen, you know, I'll sample, you know, the record or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I'll be like, I don't like it. I'll pass. For whatever reason, like months go by and then like I listen to it, it's like, man, this was actually really good. I try to go to like the shop and it's all sold out. So I go to Discogs and I'll look for it. And I'll be like, God.
It's gone.
I'll be like, oh, man, the cheapest I can find is like 40 euros or something like that.
For you were saying two songs, essentially.
And yeah, like, I mean, and it's not a limited thing. It's, I mean, well, technically, I guess it is all limited, isn't it? But like, you know, there's like, what, 300, 500 copies of these floating around. But like, you know, somebody's selling it.
Someone also didn't use a good needle. You got to look at you got to look to make sure they're not messed up.
It happens. It happens. Yeah. Like you get it and you're like, fuck. You know, it's just, but like, there's like a rating system on this thing too. Like, you know, they put like mint condition or like very good or mint, you know, all these things. So like, you look at the seller's ratings and hopefully they value the item just like you do. Like, you know, maybe they have the same standards, is what I'm saying.
And they value the integrity of their profile.
There you go.
Their seller profile. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. So is Discogs kind of like eBay for
vinyl?
Vinyl.
Or you could say for music. We'll say for music because you could find tapes and...
You buy cassettes and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Huh. And CDs.
See, this is what I'm saying. There's a whole realm of like physical stuff that I can't like jump into because I'm fucked if I do.
Yeah. No, it's I'm not going to say it's a habit, but like, yeah, you definitely, if you want to waste money.
Yeah. Well, this is me with like camera gear now. I'm just on eBay looking for, I mean, it's kind of fun. I feel like it's my new form of social media because I try to not be on social media too much, so it's like, all right, I'm gonna go like scavenge on eBay or like I'll find myself going on Facebook Marketplace just to be on my phone but to not be on social media.
Right,
but I'm on Facebook Marketplace, so it's like pseudo social media.
Yeah,
I don't know, man, I'm just trying to find workarounds, I guess. But there is this level of like that thing where I'm wanting stuff. I don't know if that's good. I don't know if that's like a good muscle to train either.
No. Well, we always want something. We just don't need it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
And like your thing is camera gear.
Camera stuff, yeah. It could benefit me in a way if I use it correctly, but most of the time I've realized it's not about...
Yeah.
It's about using the tool.
Do you actually use the stuff that you buy though? Like if like let's say you see a lens, you're like, oh man,
that's a nice
you buy
lens,
it and like, oh, you use it?
Yeah, for sure. I do.
Cool.
But
then you're fine, man. At least you're not like
just collecting
stuff.
Yeah,
you're not a freak like me and like, you know, you just like leave your records there in a box and like who for what? You know?
Do you have the record wall where it, you can pull from them?
No, no.
Do you want to do that?
I have them in the cases. So,
oh, to protect
them.
Yeah. Sorry, I just said
no. It's fine.
I had to tell people to be quiet. I don't like doing that.
No, but yeah, like actually, I kind of do the same thing with music gear. I had to like actually check myself because I was spending too much money on this stuff.
Yeah.
And the sad part is that like I wasn't using it.
Yeah, it was like, I mean, the thing is though, just to talk about like collection, being a collector of things, you can collect stuff and it's like a way of putting your money into, you know, a different, into different things, right? Yeah. Diversifying your assets.
Yeah.
But are you ever going to sell them? That's the thing where it's like, I'm collecting this stuff and it's worth maybe more than I even paid for it potentially sometimes.
Yeah.
But will you let go of it?
I mean, when I die, like, you know, my daughters will have it and they can do whatever they want with it. Like, or maybe, I don't know, maybe like if everything, like if shit like hits the fan and, you know, everything goes south and I really need the money, I'd be like, all right, no.
Here, you might have to use them as weapons.
Throwing
them.
Right.
You never know.
You never know.
I might have to be using my lenses as like a,
bruh,
fucking, I don't even know, glass. I just use the glass to shank someone. Who knows? We're not going to get there. I hope we don't get there.
I hope not either.
All right. So we got some other things. Just on your Instagram profile alone, I wanted to go through a couple of these things.
Yeah.
Just to shed the light. So if people go there. First thing it says, the first line it says, non decor, mm-hmm. decor duca.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean?
I don't follow, I lead in Latin.
Mm.
Yeah.
Where did you pick that up?
I just found it.
Mm.
Made sense to me. Like after, well, yeah, during COVID days.
The very confusing times.
Yeah. I was like, I had a lot of like aha moments.
With regards to just the way that people act under stress for yourself, like just.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
A lot of everything. Yeah. But that was part of it too. Man, I hope I don't get a lot of hate for this, but I don't understand why we, as musicians, DJs, whatever, like we look for, or producers, I should say, really, we look for approval from big names. If somebody plays our track or whatever, we're like, look, so-and-so played our track. Like, that's great. And like, how does that add value to us, really, as producers? I don't understand that anymore, really. Like, I think like we add our own value with what we do. I know like it probably doesn't work when you're trying to get bookings or whatever. Like, I don't know, but like, I mean, these people that we look up to, they started from nothing. Like, I mean, look at the, or like, I don't know, let's, for example, like the first dubstep producer ever, like he, you know, they were playing to crowds of like, 10, I'm sure, at some point. And then they just started building it from there. And then that's how they got big, because like they took a chance. They did it their way. So like, I mean, why can't we do that for ourselves? Like, why do we have to depend on somebody else? I don't know. Stuff like that.
You feel like, yeah, maybe there's a little bit too much longing for external validation from... I mean, it feels good when someone recognizes...
Of course.
Especially if it's someone that you look up to.
Yes.
But I think I get what you're saying on the deeper meaning of it, which is like, you don't need that.
Exactly.
You don't need that.
Yeah, you don't need it. But, yes, when somebody you look up to plays your track, you're like, oh, man, he liked it enough that he plays it out. Yeah, sure, that feels nice. Of course. But I don't think we need it. Like, it doesn't, I don't know. Like,
I feel like it depends on what you're in this for. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. No, for sure.
Like if you're in it to, cause you just love it and you could basically do it in a vacuum and you still love it.
Yes.
So I get what you're saying. I mean, dude, that's just kind of like also just the social media stuff. It's like, oh dude, I got to repost the repost of the repost. It's like, that's something actually I don't even do anymore. There was a period of time where it was like, I would post this one thing, tag someone, they would repost it, and then like vice versa. And it was just all like too much of the same thing.
Yeah.
For this moment that was really not too crazy. So I do like one repost potentially and then
yeah, and drop
done
it.
With that thing. Yeah.
Yeah, man. Like I never liked Facebook. Facebook is poison. People still use it though, but, and I get it. And man, I'm probably gonna get the wrong business for, you know, if I'm gonna not use Facebook, you know, but like, I just don't. I used to use Facebook, and if I still do, I use it for, you know, posting stuff about, you know, my music or my gigs, and that's it. I stay out of, it's not my diary. I'm not gonna post personal stuff. And then I really liked Instagram for like the longest time because it was just pictures.
Yeah.
Then it became like more about memes, and that's cool, right? I like to laugh, you know, but, and now it's like, now you like to get noticed or maybe, you know, to get, you know, likes, you have to follow like the
structure.
Yeah. Like the structure, like the current, like
the trends
and stuff. I'm like, that's too much, bro. Like I don't care that much.
Yeah.
I don't care that much anymore, you know, like it's, but yeah. Yeah. Oh gosh.
That. So that all kind of goes back to the not following and leading.
Yeah. It's just, if it happens, if it works out, it works out. If not, cool. Whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not going to kill myself over it, bro. Like I just want to have fun. I got into music to make music, not to post 10 pictures and a meme to get likes or whatever the thing is this right. week.
Yeah, Instagram. No, I feel you. I think I've gone. So this is what I've done. I've gone so deep into it that it's like, I don't even like all of that stuff, the structure, it's in my peripheries in the sense like, you know, when you like use your DAW enough. And you're not really thinking about how to use it.
Right. Yeah. It's just second nature.
You're just doing the thing.
Yeah.
I think I've gotten to the point where I've broken through all the bullshit and I'm just like, no. Okay. I know exactly what I want to do. Boom. Post that. Boom.
Yeah.
And then I'm fucking out.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll go back on and like people will show some love. I'm like, yo, thank you. Cool.
Right.
All right. And then I'm out.
Like, thank you. Bye. Yeah.
Yeah. Which I love that, but it's a, yeah. I'm right there with you, man. Thank you for shedding some light on that. You got Five Alley, IFS, In a Mind, and System.
Yes.
Are these all record labels that you've worked with?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So Five Alley is the new one. That's actually a German bass producer from France. That's his label, Five Alley. And I met him 2 years ago, and super nice guy, and we stayed in touch, and he asked me for some music. I sent him a bunch of music. I didn't think, like, you know, he would like it because he's mostly, well, he's drum and bass guy, but like I sent him, you know, dubstep and this sort of stuff. He's like, hey, you want to release it on my label? I was like, yeah, cool, let's do it. And then we came to an agreement, and it's actually coming out in a couple of weeks. Multi-genre EP. It's like two dubstep tracks, three drum and bass tracks, and one is kind of like 80s kind of like synthy style track in like drum and bass tempo. Like, yeah, I think it was like 170 or something like that, but like probably one of my favorite tracks on that record. But yeah. Yeah.
Nice. You said that's coming out in a week.
Yeah, like March. March 15th.
March 15th. Probably this is going to be out already, so go check it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
And IFS, cool. Infernal Sounds. Yeah, one of my favorite dubstep labels.
Infernal Sounds.
Infernal Sounds. They had a, or I don't know if they have or they had a YouTube channel that came out around the same time as UKF.
Mm.
And yeah. And yeah.
Dude, I every time I do one of these, I'm like, damn it, now I gotta do so much research. It's not a bad thing, but I'm just like that mix you were talking about,
mm-hmm.
definitely mm-hmm. gonna check that out. Mm-hmm. I need that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Remind me and I can send it to you later.
Okay.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Well,
cool.
But yeah, In a Mind is like one of the big dubstep labels at the moment. Very like forward thinking stuff that's coming out on their label. And Systems, you know, been around for a while now, and like they always push things forward with dubstep as well. But like, yeah, no real format, you know. Vivek, he you know, he wants to push good music, and sometimes it's different, you know, like a good different, you know. This doesn't follow like a format, so
doesn't follow a specific genre. Exactly. Is it within dubstep, or is it still like just like it could be whatever?
Yeah,
a little country.
Oh, no
country.
No country dub. yeah, it's between like dub and dubstep. Okay. I haven't heard anything in the 160 plus realm. If anything, I've heard like, you know, there are some dub, there's a lot of dubstep, and also we could say a little bit of dub techno.
Ooh,
but yeah,
I love dub techno.
Me too.
It's so good.
Oh.
Dude, I found Basic Channel like a few years ago, maybe 4 years ago. So good, dude. And then I got into how they're actually like, I forget the names now, but they had an old group. They had like a couple names,
yeah.
And then there was the one guy, and then they had a record label. Yep. And I was just like, yes, I love all this lore.
Yeah. Have you heard of Echo Court, like the label?
Sounds real familiar. I've probably run into that just through my like dub techno research days, whatever, like just going through stuff. Dude, you know what I love dub for? And this might be just specific to my climate. Probably doesn't get as cold in Spain, I would assume. But like in the winter,
mm-hmm.
dub techno is my jam, because it's just like I'll be outside. There's like not many people around. I'm kind of out there alone, potentially in the snow. And it's just like perfect for... Because it's like dead. Like the winter is just dead. There's people out, but no one wants to be outside.
Yeah. No, I completely understand. When I'm like, okay, like on System, my last release on System was dub techno. Like dub techno.
Mm.
Now 140 is like, it's 120. There's even like an 80 BPM.
Yeah, not the fast techno.
No. And see, what I like to do is like I like to, and I mean I'm not the only one that does this, but like I like to put in like atmospheric sound, like natural sounds.
Yeah.
So like water.
On top of it?
Yeah, huh? Like wind, rain, like I'll record rain. Yeah.
Oh, you're talking about like when you make dub techno. Okay.
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about like you put on a dub techno track and then you add.
Oh, no.
Like
fountain. No. So like when I actually like produce it, like to put the, like this sound in the background, and like, yeah, it adds a different feel.
Totally. Texture. It's all about the texture, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like, yeah, on snowy days, man, like when if you just hear like, you know,
yeah, it's the best, dude. It's such a cool genre, and I feel like I'm totally moving into that stereotype where it's like you get older and you just start listening to like real minimal shit. But no, it's good because I can put it on, not focus on the music, because I've broken my brain in the analytical sense that when I listen to music, it's hard for me. When I first started listening to music, I just listened to it and be like, this is cool. It's like a drug. Like,
right.
I put this song on when I want to chill. I put this song on when I want to get hyped up. Now, I'm like, okay, this song's cool. Like, what's happening in the song? You know?
Yeah.
It's hard to put down.
Yeah, like you're actually like listening.
I have to like get to the point where I'm like borderline the same thing I do if I meditate, where I'm like, I'm not going to think about this song. I'm just going to let it come through me, like go through me.
Yeah, exactly. I think like I forget who I was talking to about this, but yeah, like it's like you're in a trance, but it's not trance music. It's just like you're just like, wow, this is great, fantastic.
Yeah. It's, I feel like with that kind of music, like, because the track will be like 20 minutes or something, and I just put it on and I'm just like, okay,
some of them are.
Yeah.
Some of them are, like, not exaggerating. Like, yeah, I'm just like, wow. Like, I love it. It's great, but I can't commit that much time. Like, it's just...
I'll put it on when I'm just doing other stuff. It's like, right. Yeah, it's like just ambiance almost.
Yeah.
For sure. But, yeah, okay. I'm glad we got into dub techno a little. I fucking love dub techno. Yeah. There's also, like, dub house that I've found that's kind of interesting, too. It's just got all those dub sounds, you know? Yep. Yeah, slapback echoes, some noise, fucking all that good stuff.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Yeah. All right, cool. All right, so one thing we also wanted to go over was the merch.
Oh, yeah.
Hard transition to merch. I see that you have a shirt here. It's like the parental advisory warning.
Yes. But
Babylon advisory warning. Conscious teaching.
Yes.
What is the idea behind this? Also, maybe you could... enlighten us to the concept of Babylon. Is that just like heaven?
No.
Or is it home?
Quite the contrary. Sorry,
God, I'm so naive. Dude. And I'm sorry, but people, we're gonna learn together.
So Babylon is the system.
It's couldn't have been more wrong. Sorry.
Is the it's the government, it's police, and basically like corruption. So on the first Buka record, I have Killapi on it, and basically he goes all out on this one. So I felt like it was actually like quite appropriate. Like he doesn't curse or anything, and so it's like you know, these old hip-hop records, I don't know if they still do it, but like, you know, they used to have like the big stickers, like I said, like parental advisory, explicit lyrics, whatever, right? So like that was my take on it. Like, he was just saying how like all right, the system's corrupt, police are corrupt, like something's got to change. But like, oh man, it's like I really honestly I just can't wait for people to hear it. But yeah, like, so my thing was like, okay, on this record, like, we gotta do something like that. So I was talking to him about it. I was just like, man, like, what do you think about this? Like, does this make sense? He's like, all right, we put like Babylon advisory. So it's kind of like parental advisory, but Babylon advisory. Like, the cops or like the government probably doesn't want you to hear this, you know, because it's truth. And I don't trust the government for shit. I don't trust police for shit. So, and yeah, conscious teachings is in reference to everything that Babylon does not want you to listen to. They want you to believe what they're saying, which is lies. Conscious teachings is everything that, like, is love, respect, understanding, or as Rastas would say, overstanding, because understanding is, you know, under is bad, so you have to overstand something, you know. You have to have compassion for your fellow man or fellow person, really. Anything positive, you know, that's what Babylon doesn't want you to have in your life. They want you to depend on them. So yeah, so that's where that came from.
The shirt. That's cool. Where can people purchase one of these shirts?
Bandcamp, my Bandcamp. I actually have them on me as well. So for the tour, I'll be... It's cheaper than to buy them through my Bandcamp because it's just from Spain. So, like, they got to deal with... Well, people yeah. here in the U.S. is, you know, I'm trying to... Part of giving.
For sure. Well, I feel like a good thing to do is I have a wrap-up question.
All right.
Which is... We talked about your first concert, but now, what was the most game-changing concert you attended? Something where you saw it and you were like, wow, okay, I gotta change my game a little bit.
All right, so then it would have to be related to...
It doesn't... Okay, so, but it could be that. And then I was also going to say, it could be like you went to go see Explosions in the Sky, like right. that band you were talking about before. And
yeah.
that was just cool in a completely different realm.
Oh, man.
It's a toughie.
Portishead was actually pretty cool to watch.
Portishead?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean... I don't know. I miss playing like live. Let me rephrase that. An instrument live. So I would, if I could take my music and like have like a band and we could play that, I'd be pretty happy. But yeah. I don't know. Like, yeah, I miss that. I miss being in band.
What about Portishead? Because they have that's like that 90s era. Like they have that one album where it's just.
It's kind of it's trip hop, right? That's what they call it, trip hop. So it's like, I don't know.
When they performed live, they had a band?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they had their guitarists, their synth players, like the drums. They didn't have an orchestra or anything like that. Because I know they did do some orchestra stuff.
You played guitar, you said?
Guitar and bass, yeah.
So, like, do you play more rhythm, more, like,
lead? Yeah, rhythm. I shred a little bit. But, like, I never learned theory. You know, I always learned how to play by ear. So, like, when I could, like, pick up any record and, like, just listen and be like, okay, and then I would try to like copy the solos as best as I could, but I don't really know kind of like scales. I know some scales, but like I don't solo. Like I'm not like, I don't know who's like a big guitarist. I don't know, Kirk Hammett. Let's just say Kirk Hammett from Metallica or whatever. I mean, he's probably not that great, but anyway.
I think they're good. They're okay.
Let's just put it there. They have some hits.
Yeah, they got some. Yeah. Well, also, you know, I feel like you might have had one of the longer careers out of the people on this show. Some people are just starting out. Some people are, you know, been in it for as long as I have, 10 years, whatever. I wanted to ask you about like your favorite show in the sense that one that you've played, because we talked about ones that you've attended, but
right.
What was like a one where you just felt like it was really special, whether it was the crowd, the system, the music on that night.
Oh man.
The other performers. The venue. Sorry, I'm just
No. I think I know which one. I played at this squat in Milan. The sound system wasn't the best. But man, the vibes
on point.
Yeah, man, it was like it was me and this other. He was actually a dubstep guy from Estonia. They had invited him as well, and we were like really like the only two like headliners. Man, there must have been like 400 people. This place, and like, I mean, it was my first time playing there, like in Italy, actually. It was my first time playing, and like, I was like, wow, that's all I can say.
What was the venue? What was it like?
It has a name, but I totally forgot the name of it. But yeah, it's just a squat, it's like, they call it a cultural center, so like, actually, people do live there, you know, like homeless people live there, but like
a squat. So was it kind of like a warehouse or something?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But yeah, and then, but you can do like events there and stuff like that. And yeah, it was so many people and people just dancing the whole time. There was like no thinning of crowds or anything. It was like lit. Packed the whole time.
How late did it go? How long did you play?
I played like 2 hours and the thing went on to like probably 5 a.m.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's dope.
That's the other thing too. Like a lot of Euro parties, man, they're done at like 6 a.m. 7 a.m. They start at like 11.
So you gotta get that that midday nap.
Yeah.
Like if you don't, it helps. I mean the drugs, if there's drugs involved, that might help too.
And if that's your thing, then yeah. Yeah.
But I feel like that siesta might be crucial. Otherwise you're not gonna make it till 6.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool. Yeah, that's what I always hear. I don't know, in my mind I'm like, that seems a little late. Or a little early, but like,
but when you're enjoying yourself, like it's like, good. It goes by fast, man. Like it really does go by fast.
Yeah, that's what I try to remind myself. Like if it's a good vibe, I could stay there for a long time. Ooh. But I don't know. Sometimes I go to stuff and over here, and it's like scene stirrers. Like they're kind of there because they're trying to be seen and
right.
Anyway, I'm not trying to.
No poo-poo.
Yeah, no poo-poo.
No poo-poo.
Whoever made up that term. I don't know. I don't know where that comes from. Anyway, all love. Yeah, man. I feel like we can do a little rap. Just any shout-outs?
Yeah, we're going to... It's too many people to shout out, but like really basically all the sound systems in the U.S. right now pushing the shit. Like... keep doing it.
Yeah. Shout out Beatdown, just because one that I know in Chicago.
That's the locals. Those are the homies. And yeah.
And Ronan. I mean, I don't
of
know.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. Well, yeah. Yeah.
But of course.
That goes without saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. And to all the producers that are like, you know, making music, keep doing what you're doing and just do it. Don't give a fuck what anybody else says. Just do it. Do what makes you happy. That's the thing. Like, do it because you want to do it, not because, like, you know, you're trying to follow a whatever. That's the secret sauce right there.
Yeah, that's the key. Where can people find you, like, social media-wise?
Best place, Instagram still. I don't post much, but, I mean, that's the best place.
That's the spot. Okay.
Yeah.
Also, I don't know why I don't say this, but like links, there will be links. So go check that out. Yeah. All right, man. Well, dude, thank you so much for coming through.
No, thank you for having me.
Yeah, of course. I know that you just got off a long flight too. So it's like,
I'd rather be doing this than like going to sleep or whatever, man. Like this is cool. I like talking to people, bro.
Good shit, man. Yeah. Me too.
No.
No, I hate talking to people, and I have a podcast.
But I gotta do it.
No. All right, guys. Well, if you made it this far, thank you so much for listening. We'll catch you next time. Peace.
Bro, thank you so much, man.